At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Merkle Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, if you'd like to have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road as a driver of any kind of thing, whatever you drive, we'd like to talk to you about what it is that you do. You can contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the HammerLaneLegends.com webpage, hit the contact section, get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us, just get a hold of us. Chipper, how about the voicemail line?
The voicemail line, short stories, 5-10 minutes at the most. You reach that at 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. Again, a short story of anything crazy, wild, insane you might have seen on the road, participated in, or was the cause of. You know, we like to hear about it.
Yes, we do.
It, you know, lets us get a little chuckle out of things, out of life. So go ahead and leave the message, follow the prompts there, and we'll play them when we get them.
Yep.
And while you're doing that, you could also check out the Keep Us Fueled section, Keep Us Caffeinated. At buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. It's a virtual tip jar. You know, if you like what we're doing on the show here, you feel free to leave a tip or just thanks for looking.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen to the next show.
That's it. Shipper, who are we talking to today?
I don't know.
Denise? I don't know.
They just told me to show up. I'm here.
Denise, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good. It's kind of foggy out here because we don't get sun in Southern California till July.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was Gavin Newsom caused that.
Yeah, right?
Well, you know what they say, it never rains in Southern California. You may not see the sun, but it's not raining at least.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I'll take that. You know, I would
still
take
cold. The water's cold here, like it's still 60-something, but Yuma is already 97.
Wow.
That's only 120 miles. So it creates this steam.
It's a steam.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. Wow. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the driving, you know, kind of like lead us into your driving experiences and that kind of stuff and what you do and all that.
Well, my husband is a 26-year Marine. I'm still a hairdresser. And we started off from Reno, Nevada, and drove to Alabama in our Volkswagen Super Beetle with his 400 Suzuki. He took the front wheel off and drilled holes in the bumper of our Volkswagen. And we towed it on one tire all the way to Anniston, Alabama.
Wow.
And you know what? Back then, the only people on the road, seriously, there's a few tourists. I mean, but not like now, but right. Truckers and bikers. And those bikers would go by us and see that setup with that dirt bike. Well, it was an enduro. It was a street and dirt. So it was, it had a license plate.
Okay.
Going across country with that setup started the whole thing.
Well, the Volkswagen ran out of gas, you just kickstart the motorcycle and in a while.
Exactly. Well, that's interesting. Holy cow. So how long did it take him to modify that? That was a problem.
I think he just got a drill out of the garage and drilled two holes big enough for those forks to go in.
Okay. Well, it was an easy enough modification.
Yeah, it was. But I remember coming back. It's called Pikes Peak in Colorado. Right. And you're climbing. And that Volkswagen doesn't go very fast. And here comes the outlaw biker. You know, there's always about 20 of them. Right. And they just looked at us. And then we get to Salt Lake City. And for whatever reason, the motels were all full on the good side of town. And we had to go to the other side of town where those motels are.
Gotcha.
Closed pins on the curtains.
Right.
The no-tell motel.
And we get a room. And there was clothespins on the curtains. And then we hear all the rumbling of those bikers. And they had pulled into the same motel. It was like, oh, God.
Yow.
But there's nothing in between cities out here. I mean, you have to have a blanket. You have to have water. If you're going into the mountains, you need, like, Polish sausage and a dozen eggs.
Right.
I mean, if you're in the cabin when an avalanche hits, you have a few people with you. You need a few cans of soup. You need the sausage can last 2 days if you need it to.
Right.
And there's some places where there's avalanches, Kirkwood, where you're trapped with the hotel staff.
Wow.
So the pizza parlor is open in two bars.
Oh, no, that's not a
bad. They just stay in the hotel during the avalanche.
That's a nice way to be stuck.
Right?
That's how to do it.
Well, I think I've seen an article on Donner Pass still had snow going on.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
You know
the story about that 2 days ago. So my girlfriend's friend in Lake Tahoe runs the girls up there. And I guess there was some big party or convention. Uh-huh. And those girls were counting on the money and they closed Donner Pass down. So the Craigslist girls didn't so get a paycheck this week.
Yeah.
And they were complaining. We call her grandma, the lady that runs the show. I'm sure she was a working girl at one time, but she's older now. She's got the swishy bell-bottom sleeves and kind of the flared, swishy pants.
Wow.
Every once in a while, I hang out with her and her friend.
She's a regular throwback, huh?
Yeah.
She's a throwback. She's a man.
Kind of cool. Yeah.
It's all on Craigslist now.
Nice.
Yep.
That is so different.
I wonder if they can get a claim unemployment for that week.
In Nevada, where it's legal, I don't know. You know, I really don't know how that works.
Like, right.
The ranch.
Yeah. How?
But when I was 17, I worked at the Arlington Plaza. That's where I met my husband. He was a bellboy, and I was a front desk clerk. And one night, I pick up the phone, and it's, "Hi, this is Joe. I'm going to send a few of my girls in." He's like, "Mr. Mason knows about it." I'm like, "Okay." So in pulls this Bugatti. I grew up fast at that hotel. And a black girl, an Asian, a blonde, and a redhead get out of the Bugatti with leopard seats. Just like you would think, pimping. It was 77, 76. They go up the elevator. The Bugatti leaves. And then the next day, "Hi, this is Joe. Just tell Mr. Mason I'll be settling up my bill." And that's what I thought to myself. I said, "God, you grew up in about 2 weeks at this job."
Welcome to reality.
Yeah, about it.
But that's just me. But I am from Reno, Nevada, and you do grow up fast there.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, it's a nice place to live.
I was going to say, I thought she was going to say, it's a nice place to visit.
Well, once you hit San Diego and I saw these beaches and stuff down here, I knew I could just drive back to Reno and visit. That's why I have all those stories of the snow and stuff.
Yeah.
Because you drive from San Diego to Reno, it's 500 miles.
Right.
Part of it, there is nothing. And there is no cell service out there. A 395.
No kidding. Even now.
Well, on some spots, I mean, 20, 30 miles from town, there is.
Yeah.
But there's cold spots out there.
You know, it's so weird to think about that in 2024, that there's places where you can't get cell service, you know?
That's why I think the truckers still have CB radios.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Most definitely. But do they use them? Not all the time.
Do they even have them turned on right. all the time? Yeah, that's
yeah, unless there's traffic stopped, they're not.
That all of a sudden, when they see the brake lights come on, it's all of a sudden everybody turns on the radio and says, "What's happening up there?" You know, which
there
is
a little trucker club. You know, remember the little Datsun trucks?
Yeah.
Well, there was a Reno trucker club, and they would go to Carson City. And everybody had CBs. I used to get invited with this one guy to go. And it was, I mean, we had fun back then.
Yeah. It was a different lifestyle, wasn't it?
Well, and we found all kinds of stuff to do.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Now nobody looks for anything to do. They just look on their phone.
Exactly.
I know. I do listen to the podcasts, though. For sure. And I hit on yours, you know, just... And I just thought, man, there is a lot of stuff that goes out on the road.
There is. It's crazy. It is. It's just, you know, there's always something happening. You know, there's always, almost every night.
It's a new show every night.
It is. It literally, you know, you see enough stuff to do a show.
The Harley trip from hell.
Yeah.
We're also bikers. We've been to service since. So two summers ago, it was this record-breaking heat wave.
Uh-huh.
And TJ's brother makes the reservations. Believe me, I will never go the first week of September anywhere.
Gotcha.
Harley on a bike. So we go to Reno. We trailer it to Reno. We start from Reno, and there's back roads that go through the old gold country, uh-huh. You know, through to the beach up there, which is called Fort Breck. And so it was pretty cool through the mountains, twisties and stuff. And then you pop out in some part of California where there's a lot of nut trees. It's called Yuba City. And I think there's only one river for miles. So it was hot. It was getting hotter and hotter. The back of the bike, I swear it was 130 degrees for me back there on that bike.
Wow.
And I thought I was going to throw up in the helmet. I mean, I was getting sick. So I beat on his back. I mean, we have those little CB radios that, whatever. I'm like, there was this straggly little tree on the side of the road. I'm like, pull over now. And my sister-in-law, she rides her own bike. She rides an Indian by herself.
Wow.
Then why Mark picks the hottest week of the year and has us going 250 miles in the middle of California? That's what I mean. Nothing out here. You know, you go for 100 miles to get to the next gas station. So there's this daggly tree and there's like a gate because people live out there and they have, it's not like a gated community. They just have gates across the roads.
Okay.
I'm sure you guys do too.
Yep.
Or they don't walk people on the property.
Yeah.
So the straggly trees right there, I just whip off the helmet. Oh my God, I can't take this anymore. My sister-in-law is like, oh, I thought I was going to pass out. I'm so glad we pulled over. And
that was eating.
There's a whole the guy from that lived on that property turns the corner, immediately sees we're in trouble, opens the gate, gets the hose out. I put the hose straight on my head. He gets us water. He had just come from the hospital. His wife, there was a rolling brownout the night before. And their emergency gen went off in their house, and his wife was almost dead from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Wow.
So running a backup generator has its
drawbacks.
I knew I was you were in trouble the minute I saw you. And
yeah.
We had to stay there about 45 minutes to an hour. He had to cancel this $400 hotel reservation. I'm like, Mark, I'm not going to Willits. I'm not going another 150 miles.
Right.
We're going to Yuba City. It's 18 miles from here. And you know, I'm going to lose my money. He's like, you can go wherever you want. His wife's like, I'm going to 18 more miles.
And yeah, you drop me off in Yuba City and you can go wherever you want.
Yes.
Single framing. Oh, my word.
The rest of the trip was fun. But I mean, well, the rest of the trip was fun until you come back down to that valley of nuts. I don't know what they do down there. They grow nuts. And there's one
right.
And I started saying the rosary. I mean, I am hot. And I thought, we'll get to Yuba City, you know, because we're coming back. I'll get there. And about my third Hail Mary, I smelt water. I smelt that river. And we started coming down into that cooler river basin. I was just like, oh my God, I am never going to let you make reservations. Never making the trip again. He foiled us in Yosemite the two summers before that with all these fires. And he has a story through Sutter's Mill. And there are all these burnt trees on the side of the road. So, you know, the pavement is so hot that it's so hot on that bike.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, you're surrounded by it. It's just underneath you. It's everywhere.
You almost want to take winter vacations.
It does.
Like, when we stayed 2 days, like, in Mariposa, there was a couple of little, like, it's a mining road. So you can follow the old California Pony Express, I think it is, from Fort Bragg to, can pass Yosemite and into Mammoth. It's wow. Really fun. I mean, it is fun to do, but not the first week of September.
It's still too warm, huh?
Oh, yeah.
When do things cool off out there then? Like around October?
Yes. Yeah. November.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go to the mountains, you've got to, you know, go, you know, sometime. So.
Begin, Jeff.
Okay. Right on. My driver. So we have like 8 cars.
Wow.
A boat. A side-by-side, the quads, the dirt bike, the Harley. There's nothing with gas we haven't met that we can like.
Well, that should really suck for you out there in California. You know,
you know, we have that diesel truck with 4 doors, the big one.
The big one, yeah.
It says Silverado or something, I think. And then we have a Suburban, so everybody can go together. And that has like a Hemi head. And then my personal car is 3 of them. I have a black 82 Porsche that I've had for a long time. And I have a white 2006 Cayman Porsche. And I have a black, like, Jeep. And they're all stick shifts. So the cops down on my Jeep right now, so I can go down to the beach and drive up and down like Coast Highway and like just have fun.
Right.
Right.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's fun. And then Johnny has we inherited a BMW. Like it's a station wagon with the turbo. And we picked it up in Cleveland and drove it all the way here, and that thing hugs the road. Yeah. That thing is cool to drive. It's a wagon, like it would hit a grandfather left it to us.
Nice.
And then Johnny has a Ford Ranger because he's an electrician, and his wife has a Toyota RAV4. So we have a lot of cars.
Yeah. It sounds like you got a lavish home, you know, a whole parking lot.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A lot of cars. And we drive them all.
There's no sense having them if you're not going to drive them.
Right.
Not like my Ford Ranger.
Not like your Ford Ranger, yeah.
That's a just-in-case vehicle.
Oh, is that your just-in-case vehicle?
Yep, that's just, that's my just-in-case.
Just in case he needs to use it, you gotta get a battery before it can start.
It's been set in the driveway for about, a year or something like that.
Is it covered? Are you using a car cover?
No, it's just, it's an old one. It's a 1993 Ford Ranger, and I got it from Tony. And,
right on.
Yeah,
it's a pretty reliable car. John says he's only getting 11 miles to the gallon in his.
Yeah, that's about all I get.
He wants to get a different truck. He says that mileage drives him crazy.
Yeah, I agree with him. I totally get that, because that's how mine is.
So on a quiet night, you could be sitting out on the porch. You can hear it rust.
Yeah. That's not really rusting too bad, you know? But, I should probably cover it. I never really thought about that because it's so old. I just didn't think about it.
You should just fill out the number on the for sale signs.
I should have done
that. Cars are old. I mean, kind of. We just like cars. We take good care of them and like the ones we got, you know?
Yep. Yep. I don't blame you.
Yeah. I mean, look, she's out in California there. They don't have to worry about rust.
Boy, that's for sure.
Well, it rusts at the beach. So the black Porsche is rusting even in the garage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've had it. Okay. It's 92 or something.
Wow.
And it's cool. I took my white one because it's already a 2006. My new car is already 13 or something years old.
Yeah.
So I cover that one in the driveway, but I drive it like twice a week or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
And I drive the Jeep a lot, but I'm going to give the Jeep to my niece. She turned 16. In a year and a half. So I have like 2 years kind of to still help fund a year. And I might get another Jeep. That Jeep's low.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. Especially out where you're at, you know, you can, where you drive around, you take it on you take it into the desert, correct?
Sometimes if we have another driver with us.
Yeah.
Because the Suburban holds a lot of people. When we go on these trips, there's always a bunch of stragglers with us. They've never been to the desert. You know, you have to take extra stuff for them because they're never prepared.
Right.
But we lived in Utah, so that's how we discovered the big dunes.
Oh, okay.
We lived there for 2 years. And when your eyeballs get hot, like, why was it the prison? There's a historic prison. My husband said, TJ, my eye, the little slit in between my sunglasses that reaches my eye, said, when my eyes start boiling out of my head, they're like, we have to get transferred out of here.
Wow.
Well, that's when you know it's hot.
Yeah, well, definitely.
It was hot.
Well, how did you
runs through it? Makes no difference.
Right, right. Well, how'd you wind up in Yuma?
The Marine Corps.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. You know,
Yep. There's a lot of crazy stuff that happens on this Mexican border.
Yeah. You shall.
Yeah. Right on the border. Like where our little setup where we're at the dunes, you can see the fence. You can see the wall.
Wow.
Oh, and you know what's so funny about that? The dunes decide where the wall's going to be. Like there's a part of the dunes that the dune just goes over the wall. So you can go. The sand, and they have these bulldozers that are out there, you know, shuffling the sand off the wall. Wow. It's kind of funny because there's haboos and stuff out there. Every once in a while, there'll be quite a bit of sand on the wall.
Wow.
But they rake the sand with these rakes, the Border Patrol. They rake these dirt roads so they can follow the footprints. And there's canals out here. There's an American canal that goes right through the border. And believe it or not, there's a ladder about every 100 feet, a ladder to get out of the canal. Border Patrol doesn't want to find dead people. That's not their job. You know, there's rescue barrels of water out here. And many, many times, you can see the tracks when you wake up in the morning from your camp. And you follow the tracks. And a lot of times they just, somebody's come and picked them up, like in a setup like ours. They just pose as their dirt bike riders and pick up, coyote them up.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. There's certain times, like a real busy weekend, they use that as a cover.
Go figure.
I imagine it's
really profitable to the people that do it.
I would imagine, yeah.
100% or something.
Right. Yeah. They wouldn't do it if it wasn't profitable. You know, it's just the way it is. So,
well, how are you guys out there?
We're all right. I mean, you know, we're PA is PA. So, you know, Pennsylvania is just, it's middle of May and it's like 50 some degrees today.
Yeah. But in April it was 86.
Yeah. So, you know, it's crazy. It's, you know, it's been this weird kind of spring. It's like this year's spring doesn't want to seem to end.
We have 7 springs during a year.
We do.
Does that mean it will snow maybe 2 over there in May?
Not in May, per se. You know,
okay.
That part's done. Yeah.
Up till March, you know, it's safe to after March, yeah. Yank the snow tires off. You're good to go.
Yeah.
So the road story with the avalanche thing, besides that you have to take stuff with you. So they tell you at the hotel or, you know, whatever, there's people, there's some highway patrol up there, not really, that the road's open for like this, you know, 30-minute window. They open the road or whatever. So we decide to shoot down the road and get down there. Uh-huh. And so we get past the avalanche zone. That was cleared. But we get to this other little spot and it's closed. It's like, so, oh God, because we had to back up. Like, there is no way to turn around. Nobody had cleared like a path, you know? So, yeah. They did put it in reverse. We're backing back up the road when this giant caterpillar, you know, the big ones with the giant chains on them, the ones that cut snow. Is coming down the other way. Yes.
Yep. Wow.
Like, oh my God. So TJ kind of maneuvers it and we end up in the snowbank because we're trying to get over a little bit. Right. There's no room. It's like, we got to make some room. We, you know, like this is an impasse unless he backs up all the way down back up to mountain. Or not. Yeah. It was at least 3 miles. So, he gets all the way to us, and it was 4 inches. It was scary. The big chain just go right by my window. I was like, oh, my God. Wow. And then each tire moves, like, individually.
Right.
So somehow he could kind of climb around us a little bit. And then once he got clear, he put that cutter down. And he cut us a swath of snow. Because, I mean, it's high. It's 20 feet or something.
No, you know? Kidding.
Yeah, the big storms, because we're way up there at 9,000 feet or whatever. It's, I mean, the base is probably 8,200.
Right.
But it's high. So, thank goodness, like, he cut a big enough swath where after you could do, like, 2 U-turn, then back up, turn back up, turn back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That we got to make a U-turn and get out of there. But I mean, you never want to go buy a big, just
with no
chains on, like, and there's 3 inches next to your car.
Wow. No, not at all.
Yeah.
You don't want him to make a mistake and, you know, turn a little bit to run.
Well, he was so close. And that's when he turned those independent front tires somehow, like, and kind of like, grabbed down a little bit. It was scary. We were lucky we didn't scrape each other or us get stuck up there in the snow. Because I don't know if they have tow ropes. I don't know if they pull people out or not. But that's not their job.
Right. Right. Yeah, they're just snow removal.
Their job's to clear the road. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Wow.
So yeah, our cats up here, how some of them are big. Because when it snows that big, that you have to have those big ones.
Right. That's amazing. I always wondered what it's like to drive in, you know, on a road when you've got, you know, 20-foot high snow on each side, you know, when you're cutting the path through like that. It just kind of, it looks crazy. I don't
it's
know
like the very thing. Hallway.
It does, yeah. Like a hallway for your car.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just happy to get down.
I bet.
No. But if it's a whiteout or something, I mean, you shouldn't go at night. That's for sure. During the day, you're going to have a chance. I mean, you can kind of see during the day, but at night, you should just, I don't know. We've rescued people like at Bryce Canyon in the rest stop. See, all out here, it's miles between places. So they came from Arizona and had water in the radiator, I guess. They pulled into the rest stop and it froze.
Wow, yeah.
And so they were freezing in their car. And for whatever reason, we got up early that morning and started, you know, it was another road trip somewhere.
Right.
And we could tell, you can tell when people were in trouble, you know.
Yeah.
Their hood's up. They look young. Their plates are from Arizona. TJ, I think you even said, oh, their radiator froze. They probably don't have antifreeze in there. And sure enough.
Yeah.
That's what happened. And I remember I had this Swiss Colony, like the cheese salami gift box from Christmas.
Right.
And I looked at the, gift box. And I just handed it to them because I knew they hadn't eaten. They told us they got, you know, they crashed out at like 7 or something. Wow. Like, oh, here, I've got some salami and crackers for you guys. You want them? Yes, please. Because they had to wait. There was hot water in that bathroom.
Yeah.
And so I think they started pouring hot. I think TJ told them, you need to go get hot water and just start pouring it down your radiator.
Right. Wow.
In the first gas station, you better get the antifreeze.
Right.
I don't know. I never even thought about that. You know, like I never, because you here, you know, on the East Coast, we always just, you know, there's always coolant, you know, radiator coolant, regular antifreeze. And, you know, I don't know anybody who runs just water. Does anybody just run water? You know, because the wintertime is what it is here.
Right.
Right.
You know, we have, you know, a warmer world like they do in Arizona or something like that. So,
yeah. The sun came out. This is glorious. Woohoo! Must be warm in the desert, or at least it. That's part of my house. I have a little guest house in the back.
Very nice, yeah.
But it's still, I mean, for California standards, it's 2,000 square feet. It's not that big. But we have a lot of outside space. Like I have a whole living room outside, basically.
Right. That's awesome. I'm just thinking 2,000 square feet. That's a pretty good size home around here. But that, you know. I'm living in a town that's, you know, the whole town is probably 2,000 square feet. So, you know, it's only 1,300 people. So, you know, it's small.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a very small little town.
I'm sure there's a general store.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not, you know, we're not like rural or anything. Like we're only like 15, 20 minutes from, you know, one of the bigger cities, Reading, Pennsylvania. You know, it's just like 15 minutes down the road. So
maybe we'll talk to this small little village.
I think I've been through your town at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Quaint little town.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It, you know, it's a little.
Well, like you work the graveyard shift.
Yeah, yeah. Both Shipper and myself, right. We both work nighttime. Yep.
So how does that work? Fine. I mean, driving at night's not bad.
No, it's a lot better than driving during the daytime.
Right?
Yeah, I just don't have the patience anymore for people, you know, just for drivers. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a whole different, there's so much more traffic, so much more people out on the roads during the daytime that, you know, you just get used to being a nighttime driver. I've been doing it for 24 years where I'm at now at Pitt, Ohio, so.
Yeah, the governor on your truck is a bummer that you have to keep it at, what, 67 or 67, something?
67, yep. You know it. That's it.
Brutal. So out here, the highway patrol goes to sleep at 2:30, or they're off shift at 2:30.
Wow.
So if you, like, want to actually go race your car, you know, not here in San Diego.
Right.
You could just hit one of those roads and go as fast as you want. I mean, if you're safe, there's nobody out there.
Right, right. I mean, that's why, you know.
And you want to in Arizona, too. Like, you can go from Yuma to Las Vegas if you leave it about, I don't know, say 10 or 11. You get, like, 2 hours of just going as fast as you want out there.
Wow.
I know. Well, there's only two ways to get out. Oh, it's so crowded in California. Well, when you can't go south because you're going to go to Mexico in 35 miles, and you can't go west because you're going to be in the ocean in 3 miles, we only have north and east to get out of town. Yeah. So that makes our traffic. People don't realize. Well, yeah, you only have two ways to get out of here.
Yeah.
So you're in the San Diego area.
Yes. Yeah. I have always from San Diego or something.
Wow, that's freaking that is fantastic. That is just fantastic. I don't know. Just one of those places that you hear of and you're like, that sounds like a really nice place to go to visit.
Yeah. It's kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Both husband and wife pretty much have to work out here, I would say.
Right.
I mean, unless you're in IT or something.
Yeah, I can imagine. Right.
I mean, if you want to travel and, you know, and I've driven in Japan, you know, that's two.
Oh, I got it.
I mean, now, because I just went to Tokyo last month or 2 months ago or whatever. But the truck drivers are all normal. I mean, the trucks are clean and they look kind of like our trucks. You know, they're different. Yeah. They're Japanese or they're Korean or whatever.
Right.
They're not the same trucks that we have for sure.
Right.
They're flat in the front. They're kind of boxier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But back then in the 70s, they would put tatami mats. They'd take out the seats and they'd sit like cross-legged and stuff in the trucks and have all these chimes across the dash. And a lot of neon lights, like they wanted you to see it coming. And I don't know if all that's illegal now, but it was like, it was a wake up call. I'm like, this is what the truckers are doing over here. They got all this fancy stuff on their trucks.
Wow. Yeah. I've actually seen some like videos of some of the trucks, like in India and stuff like that. And yeah, where it's like they really deck them out. They can really look kind of crazy cool, but cool.
Yeah, you can see them coming.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing.
They don't have the street lights. Our roads are paved with gold here.
Right.
Go to foreign countries and drive around. It's not like this.
Yeah, that's the truth. I can imagagine that.
There can't be no road worse than Pennsylvania. Come on now.
Oh, yeah. I've heard you guys complain about the potholes. Reno's like that. Reno has a lot of potholes.
I don't know what they do here in Pennsylvania, but somehow they try and take care of the potholes and they wind up making two. And, you know, we take out one company.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's the contraction and the freezing, I think, or something too.
I'm sure you're right. That has a lot to do with the wear and tear on the roads is, you know, and we got it. Pennsylvania is, you know, it's a Keystone State. I mean, it's everything coming from New England comes through PA. Everything out of New York and New Jersey is going through PA, you know, unless it's heading south. So it gets a lot.
It's used that much.
Yeah, it is used very heavily here in PA.
Wow. Yeah, we have concrete freeways here, and they have rain grooves in them. So your tires sing sometimes. But on our freeways, they did concrete because I think they thought they were going to last longer.
Right. That's what we use. These mostly concrete around here, right, Chip?
Yeah, but even the concrete, like the going up past Vogelzone.
Yep.
You know, the concrete even shifts. I mean, even they make a good good base on it, and it's like almost a foot of concrete, but it still moves, believe it or not, because with all the heavy truck traffic that coming into the area with the industrial parks, it just gets hammered.
You guys might have twice as much truckers up there than we have then.
Oh, without
doubt. We have the ports. The ports come in with those containers.
Yeah, well, we see them coming out of Jersey into PA going right across, you know.
Yeah.
And then you have other regular trucks.
Yeah. All the other, regular trucks.
We got cheap haulers. We got cow haulers. We got trash haulers.
Oh, wow. No, we don't.
If it needs to move, it's going through Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, stuff coming from the West going to the New England states and New York, New Jersey. Stuff coming out of New York, New Jersey, New England going.
Really? It gets used that much, that state?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. The amount of trucks.
We must not have as much trucker. I mean, now it's just one thing down to San Diego. So that even skinnies it up now for us.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Some trucks cross the Mexican border. I mean, I'm sure that's how some drugs get across. But right. You don't see, like, nothing like what you're talking about. Nothing like that. That kind of traffic comes up from Mexico. Okay. You could tell the difference in the trucks. They have different license plates. They're in Spanish and stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I can. I was curious how much truck traffic was coming up out, you know, off the border, coming up through, or you know how that works after they drop it on the U.S. side, and then the U.S. drivers pick it up, or do they run?
No, they come up as far as L.A. I know that.
Well,
now, they might have to have a visa to get it up to Seattle or something.
Right.
But one of the big drug hubs I've heard is Salt Lake City, because all four freeways connect there, so.
Yep.
They go to the 15 to Salt Lake, and then the 15 might connect to the 480 or the 40, and then someplace else. Just like, I was shocked.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Salt Lake is some kind of little hub exchange with truckers and drugs.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It was I don't think that was a podcast. I think that was a show I watched.
Yeah, that's really different. I mean, that's just not what I guess you don't expect that, you know, for Salt Lake City.
No, I wish, but it makes sense if four major freeways connect, because you can go to Chicago,
right?
You can go up to Canada and whatever, and it comes up from here, down from up here, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that is really crazy. Plus, you know, so how did you get into doing all the road that you're doing? You know, all the driving that you guys do. How'd you guys wind up getting in?
First of all, our first thing was TJ came with a motorcycle.
Okay.
You know, so I had a different Porsche after we sold that. When I've been across country in a Triumph Spitfire.
Right.
Oh, man, that was a trip.
Oh, I bet.
Well, it's hot.
Yeah.
You know, that no air conditioning, boiling to death with a spray bottle in that car. And then there was this rainstorm in Texas, and we've never seen rain like that. It doesn't rain sheets, like gallons of rain. We got to Texas, and because it's a rag top and there's clamps on the top,
right?
And that rain just poured right through the seams, right down the inside of the windshield. And I mean, you just have to pull over. It's super dangerous to drive.
Oh, my word.
I mean, for us, it is. We see people drive through it. But we've never seen anything like that.
Right.
Wow. And then in Florida, too, it rained buckets, and we've never seen anything like that. You want to call? No, John, don't. No, I'm not going out there. Yeah. Okay.
So, guys are really.
Well, I was going to golf at 4:30 in town, but. Now they want to go to Temecula and go golfing, and the course is steep for me. And I hurt my back snowmobiling.
Oh, wow.
Lean on the right ski. So it's a thumb throttle, right? We're renting the snowmobiles at Lake Tahoe. Well, it's all uphill because you can't go down. You go down into the lake. So it's right under. Lean into the ski. Lean into the ski. Freaking thumb throttling, leaning on that ski. I get home with him. I had to go to the chiropractor. I'm still, my two fingers are numb from that trip.
Wow. And how long ago was that trip?
That was, oh, God, when we got that new snow. It's almost a month ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I went golfing after that. I think I twisted my whole back. And then we went to Mexico. The driving there is interesting. God.
I can imagine.
We went to this little town. It was like the Coachella of weddings, because I went with the young guys, and they're 30. They had a 6-day wedding party.
Wow.
This dead by the But we rented a side-by-side there, and you just drive through the town. You can drink. You can do whatever you want down in this one town.
Wow.
You can drive your side-by-sides around, eat your tacos, go party at night, come home, do whatever you want. It was pretty wild.
Yeah, that sounds nice, though, too. It kind of sounds like it can be a relaxing time.
Yeah, so we stay at this really nice hotel, because you need to be in a gated community still at night. It's called Villa Amor. So around the, seriously, from like across the parking lot, around the corner in the back is the graveyard. Dia de los Muertos. It's painted like that. It has a big arch. And there's like these two fresh graves. I mean, I think they worship. They pray for a week before they cover them with dirt.
Oh, wow.
I'm driving by in the side-by-side, and I'm looking down in the hole. There's a bunch of flowers, coffins there. So, you know, we're messing around at night and everything, and we drive. There's only like two or three roads through this town.
Right.
Gringo Hill, the main road, Beach Road, and this road, this graveyard road.
Right.
And so we're driving through there. We get down there, and there's all these dirt bikers, like dirt bikes.
Right.
With machine guns and masks.
Wow.
And we just drive by like, oh, hey, how's it going? What the f-? Yes. You know, and they're revving up their engine. They're spinning around down in the graveyard and everything. And so I guess they're in grave robbers or something. And so they come down at night to guard the dead or something. Yeah. They have rifles slung over their shoulder on their dirt bikes in the graveyard. And those open, those graves were open the whole time. Because I drove by them a couple times. I did a sign of the cross every time I drove by.
Uh-huh. That is, I mean, for us, and, you know, of course, in the United States here, you know, we don't have any open grave holes like that, because you leave an open grave like that and somebody falls in it or whatever. You know, it's lawsuit or something, you know? So, yeah, it's like, we're just not used to
they
that.
Charge for one person occupancy, yeah. Then you're going to have to charge again if you're on two.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
That was a wicked call. Well, and there's like, so there was an arch, and you know, the little skeletons like on Coco, that cartoon or whatever.
Right.
So it's painted with the little skulls. And believe me, I didn't dare take a picture.
Right.
Right. You know,
I mean, I have about 1,000 stories for Tony that I will talk about him, because I don't want to bring that stuff into my house.
Right.
That I've been around so many times. I've had many ghost encounters. Well, like I said, I'm not taking pictures of the graveyard and the Dia de la Muerta stuff over there.
Right. I mean, that's the whole
thing. But you realize life and death is very close, you know, and in the Catholic Church, you realize, you know, it's not that far away.
Right.
That it's like, oh my God, really? These guys are on dirt bikes with masks and guns? Like, you think they're the cartel? So the cartel down there runs the pharmacies in this little town and the beach umbrellas, like the hustle.
Right.
You know, sometimes I don't even want to know this stuff. So when you go into the pharmacy, who knows if it's even the real aspirin? I mean, I don't know.
Right. And everyone
wants an Advil there and it didn't work.
Wow. Well, you know, it was the right
color. It's not Advil, it's Adv.
Wow.
How about the groom and them getting, like they had IVs planned, because if you drink too much, you can have some nurse come over to your house and give you an IV so you're ready the next day to party again?
Nope.
You've heard of that though, right?
No.
That's what they do in Vegas.
I've never been to Vegas. Wow. Oh my, I had no idea. I literally didn't. That's crazy. Did you know that shit?
Remember, and this is
Vegas. Vegas.
Oh, this has been going on, I would say, for, it's only like 2 years old. But yeah, it started about 2 years ago. You can, on Craigslist, who knows where the numbers are. You
right.
Call them up and they come over, I guess.
I mean, somebody's got to have the phone number somewhere. I mean, it's got to be readily available to you, you know?
Yeah. Or there's one guy walking around Vegas. I know a guy.
Yeah. So they order the nurse to come in, because we've been, I mean, I wasn't going to get the IV. My son was, we'll take the hangover, you know? But right. This group that wanted to do the IVs, like get the nurse to come over and said, yeah. I guess, you know, like there's a tourniquet and a freaking needle. And then he pulled the needle, or she pulled the needle out, and it was dripping with blood. And I don't know, my friend just thought he was going to get hepatitis. The groom just passed out cold. They thought he had died or was having a heart attack.
Wow.
He was passed out stone cold, turned white and blue. One of the other guys that was there for the injection, like, just pulled the needle out of his arm immediately.
Wow. Just,
what are you going to do? Because he hadn't woken up yet. I mean, the way he said it, it scared him to death that his friend was dead.
Wow.
And then, he, like I said, he pulls that needle out. It's dripping blood on the floor. I just thought, really, you guys? Why don't you just go home at 2 o'clock? Is this all that? God. Yeah, yeah, that's what they do at the bachelor parties now. Like, if it's you're, you know, from Orange County and you're going to go to Phoenix golfing, then you have somebody come over and give all your friends the IV. Oh, God.
How do you find that job? You know what I mean? Like, that's the, you know, that's the one of those jobs.
Well, you're like, just say you're a nurse. Who knows who these people are that are coming over?
Right?
Something up online or something?
No. I printed out my my diploma. My own, you know, it's good. It's real.
From Eugene Cheatham and Howe University.
Oh, my word. That is just, I mean, I got to travel more.
Well, the surfers aren't going to. The surfers just jump in the water and go hit like a 10-foot wave. I don't think they're getting the IVs. But these kind of, you know, cool kids or whatever, I don't. I know the IT guys from San Francisco, like the Wolf of Wall Street types.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, they're doing it in New York City for sure.
Right.
It's
yeah.
not Las Vegas.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you're right. I just, you know, I got to get out. I got to experience the world.
Maybe when you retire.
Maybe, you know, maybe when I'm retired, I'm not so
tired. Go out to the West Coast, see a few friends, have a few laughs.
Great. If you ever want to come out, I do have a guest room here.
Oh.
There you are.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It is just, I've always been fascinated with California. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been too, but for a different reason.
When I was a kid, my dad told me that he lived in San Diego when his dad was in the service in the 40s. And he told me about what it was like, and it just always sounded intriguing to me. And so my whole life I've been like, you know, I'd love to just go see San Diego, you know, just sounds like a great place.
I'm serious.
Well, I may take you up on that. You may get
I already know we're bikers and like dirt bike. Yeah. So, because we're not true San Diegans. I mean, we're from Reno, you know, right. Like we're kind of outdoorsy or whatever. Camped and all that.
Right.
But still, I mean, some of the stuff that goes on in the, you know, I'm sure you guys have the same stories, but there's just something crazy that goes on every day, I feel like.
Right.
And let alone the surfer stories, but the surf stuff, they're pretty clicky. Like I'm invited to, it's school's end and I sponsor the La Costa Canyon surf team. So they're surf or the end of, so you surf all year here. So that like sport is a long sport in high school.
Yeah.
It's not like 3 months of baseball.
Right. Right.
It's a big commitment, you know, and even if it's shitty waves, you're still supposed to go surfing. We have surf PE and we have skateboard PE.
Uh-huh.
So you can take an hour and a half off. You go skate an hour, you go surf an hour, and they give you 30 minutes. They usually go get a burrito or something and go back to school.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's part of our schools out here.
That would have been so cool to have that when I was in high school. I wouldn't have had to skip a lot of days.
Yeah, it really does help with their attitudes.
I bet.
Yeah.
So cool. Holy.
And there's a surf coach and a skate coach. So when you get to the surfing is in the morning. So your parents kind of have to take you back to school somewhere. Okay.
Right.
Because of the whole surfing thing's different. But the skateboard PE is, they might do it at the very end too. I'm not sure. I don't know if, I think John even had a, I think when you're a senior and have a car, there's a lunchtime one that lets you mix the lunch with the skateboarding, and you're supposed to come back for fifth and sixth or whatever.
Wow.
I can picture you. You're just Spicoli.
Yeah. Now you know where that stuff comes from. Now you know why that's in the movies, because it's really how it is in California. I mean, they've got it made. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine. That is just like, that's like awesome. That is just so cool.
That's all, yeah. I got. I got that picture in my head. That's, yep, it.
There we go.
We're done. Good.
That's what I mean. It is kind of a lifestyle a little
bit. Yeah, it literally is. Yeah.
So we pay extra taxes here. Right. But for us that really use the roads, like, right, I feel like we use our
personal. Your money's worth.
Yeah, we use all the rest stops. We use, right, all that stuff. Because our desert out here, it's almost free, and we have all those dirt bikes.
Right.
So we go out to the Salton Sea,
Now that's really
tough. It's all kind of a hassle. We have a littler trailer, and my husband would almost rather prefer to just jump in the Suburban, take two vehicles, and have a picnic.
Right.
Because, you know, loading up that big trailer and stuff is just like a truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Yeah. That is, wow. I gotta get out there to California. Just a bit.
I just thought of something.
What?
We service California. If
we do.
We pick up on a Friday, it'll be delivered by Monday. You could be out there by Monday. All I got to do is put a pro sticker on your forehead.
Okay, exactly.
That's right. You know, Shrek.
Okay. I have swag.
I'm good.
From the surf company.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I can set you up with some Solution Surf stuff, too. You can send me your address. I'll send it to you.
That is... Yeah, that's awesome.
Love it. Yes. I hate the heat. I'd rather be sitting on top of Donner's Pass.
Right? Well, that's one thing about Sandy. If you look at Carlsbad, it's always 65 degrees here.
Yes.
Really?
San Diego's different. Yeah. It's one of these pockets of, we're just that close to the ocean, I think.
That was the one
thing. Right where we're at. Carlsbad, yep. I'm sure right now it's 60 something.
Yeah. That is one of the things that my dad had said when he was telling me about what San Diego was like when he was a kid. You know, it was always like 65, 68 degrees. Always.
Always.
And I'm like, that is just beautiful.
I mean, exactly. Of course, on a real hot day in your backyard, it's going to get hot. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. So. But as a general rule, it's got this temperate climate that's just perfect.
Do you guys get hot in the summer out there?
Yeah, yeah, it gets muggy hot. Like, you know, we get really humid. Like, it gets, you know, hot and humid, which is a bad combination.
Yeah.
I got misters. I mean, do you think misters would help the mugginess or not?
Yeah, no. There's people walk around with those little spray bottles that have fans on them. It's the same thing, and that doesn't work.
Because Alabama was brutal. I couldn't eat the air. Like, I couldn't believe how humid it was. It's like, oh my God, I could almost cut the air with a knife.
Yeah, it's real thick. Yeah.
Is it like that in Pennsylvania?
August. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can get like that. Yeah,
the humidity level just gets really, it's just, I don't understand.
The wind doesn't come through is what it is. There's not some trade wind or something.
There's some nights in August that it's like 3 a.m, it's already 83 degrees.
Yep.
And you know, it's going to be hot once the sun comes up.
Yes.
It's 83, it's 3 a.m.
That's how it was in Alabama. It was hot. Everybody had air conditioning.
Right.
Everybody.
Yep. And
I feel like Hawaii can get that hot too. TJ, he'll never go into Mexico, and I'll never go. So when he was an MP, I'll make this one short, but because he was an MP the whole time. He was, you know, NIS, that one show, Naval. He's an NIS agent.
Okay.
The Marine Corps like loaned him to the Navy after he was the officer in charge of the criminal investigation division. Okay. He has a lot of stories about criminal investigation. But
that'd be an interesting conversation to have too one of these days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can't go through Camp Pendleton. He knows every, and it's so weird for him because he just thinks of every death case as we drive through the base.
Right.
Like, it's so weird. He really did get PTSD or
yeah.
Like, oh, no wonder you have that. That's what you think about when you drive through the base is where all the cases are.
Wow.
But the one case when he said he would never come back or never go to Mexico, San Luis, it's a small town, and that's the border town of Yuma. Okay. And there's a boys' town there, whatever. So I guess these Marines got in trouble down there, and the Federales had him in jail. And TJ goes down to get him.
Right.
And they're like, oh, no, you know, we want four Harley Davidson jackets. So, I mean, they wouldn't let the guys out. They didn't want money. So TJ had to come back to Yuma, go to the base, tell the lieutenant or whoever, they have to get the money for the jackets. I mean, they're going to buy the guys out. Right. So then they had to, you know, go to whoever, the general even, maybe get the check, go to the bank. You know, or whatever they had to do. It was a pain in the ass.
Right.
So then he went down to Mexico and got those Marines out with those four jackets. And he said, that's it. I'll never go to Mexico again.
Wow. That is different. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it. And I mean, I've been
four Harley jackets to now look at where we're at nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not, no, I'm just saying.
Yes. No, indeed.
Now we lost those surfers last week down there. You heard about that out east?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Oh, that's on the national news.
I don't watch this. I should.
I don't watch the news either, but these two Australians in San Diego, there's certain surf spots south of Ensenada.
Okay.
And I guess they said they wanted their tires. Whatever. So they burned the car. The tires were gone. They found them in a well.
Wow.
And there was dental work. At the scene of the crime, they found dental work. So that's never good. That means they beat the crap out of them.
My word, yeah.
And then they dumped them in a well, and there was already another body in that well. But they caught a lady with the cell phone who dimed the guys out.
Oh, so no.
They're in custody.
Wow.
The defense that did it. But it's brutal.
Yes, it is. Yes, right. It is.
Wow. Oh, I fought my way out of Mexico more than one time.
No kidding.
Oh, my God. So just this, because we drive across. So we take the Silverado. We have a 250 dirt bike that has a license plate on it, street and dirt, enduro.
Okay.
So Johnny and I, and we golf down there, Baja Mar, and you can eat lobster. So we go down there, and we end up Googling, and we didn't hit the freeway. We ended up going through Tijuana. It's pretty sketchy. And all of a sudden, you know, we're getting pulled over. It's COVID. We have our masks on.
Right.
And, I mean, there's open containers in the car and stuff. And, oh, shit. I start crying. That didn't work. It's like your mom doesn't have her seatbelt on. Like, we didn't want him looking at us, believe me. And he didn't want it because he wants to extort money, you know. So it's like, oh, shit. So Johnny jumps out of the car, and everybody was wearing masks, thank goodness, because Johnny probably smelled like he was drinking. And we had a surfboard sticking out of the back of that truck. And so, you know, finally we settled on $180. And then you don't just pay them straight out. Uh-huh. Like, you walk around to the back of the truck and you put the money under the surfboard, and then he rechecks the surfboards and takes the money.
Wow.
And then drunk on a different trip, we all were going to meet at this bar, and there's these border checks. I mean, through Mexico, there's Federale checks all the way through it. Uh-huh. So it's one of the old... like Datsun pickup trucks again. It's an American that lives down there. and he said he'd come pick us up. So there's four people in the front seat. We're all drunk. It's 12 o'clock at night. We're just, you know. So we get to the fella, et cetera. He's like, oh, you guys, no, we're writing him a ticket. You have four people in the front seat. We're like, no, no, no. And he's like, so we had $12. Like, we were just expecting to go to this bar, like, up the road.
Right.
And so it's like, he's like, no, this isn't enough money. I was like, oh, shit. And I remembered I put two 20s in my bra to take to the bar. Oh, shit. And then it just dawned on me. I had those two 20s. Whipped the two 20s out. This waves us through. And got our friend. We got to the bar with no money.
But. Right. But at least you got to the bar. You know, you got the whole group. Wow. Oh, my word. That just. That.
I might be done with Mexico. I'm telling you, this last trip with the graveyard, and then these now these surfers got, you know, murdered.
Right. Wow.
I don't know. It is dangerous down there.
Yeah, sounds like it. It really does.
And they're slowly pushing over into our country.
They are. Oh,
yeah, that's really a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whose smart idea was that? Which we all bring on the air. Yeah.
You want me to answer that? I'll remain calm.
Thank
remain
you.
Remain silent. Grandpa.
And you know what's so trippy about California?
What's that?
It wouldn't matter what day of the year, what election, what anything. It's a full Democratic, like you either live here and suck it up or don't.
Right.
I mean, we all voted for Ronald Reagan back in the day. I'll tell you that. We did.
One green
man. I don't know if you guys did or not, but I did.
Oh, hell yeah.
But, you know, on these regular elections, I mean, all the movie stars and all this stuff. Oh,
right.
Great. They all go one way down here.
They do.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And if you don't, you're not in the in crowd. So.
Right.
And my husband, who's an officer in the Marine Corps, like right. He, you know, they're all Republicans. I mean, officers are. So it's kind of like the officers are Republicans and the enlisted are Democrats. But TJ started out as an enlisted man and then made officer. He shushed me at a couple, like TJ never wants to bring up politics around the military. Right. Because first of all, the president is the commander in chief. It does not matter. Like, there's not, you cannot ever think that way when you're in the Marine Corps. No matter who's in charge, it's the president. So there's this whole different mindset when you're around the Marine Corps. Right. Especially the Marines. Because they will do whatever the president says.
Yep.
Period. That is their watch.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a gray area, too, when you're a Marine wife.
Sure.
Because of the commander-in-chief role.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
Yeah, yeah. You have to. You know, you just do. That's the life that you have, you know, so, and we're all, you know, you got to just accept it and go with it, you know?
And I mean, I believe in it just cause we're free, you know? So I still, you know, that's what I mean. It's interesting when you're really that in, you know, 26 years in the Marine Corps and you realize who really is in charge is the president of the Marines. Period.
Yep.
That's it. There's no question.
And it doesn't matter who he is or who she is or what party they're affiliated with. That's the way it is.
Exactly. And if you don't have that loyalty and there is a breakdown, that's not good either.
Exactly. It has to be that way.
But I do still like the freedom, you know, of American California and all that. And I like my own opinion. But it's weird to see, you know, what really takes the glue sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well,
yeah.
We've been through, I mean, you guys are as old as I am.
Right.
I've been through a lot of presidents, maybe 16 or something.
Right.
And they're not all good.
But no, you can count the good ones on one hand.
And they were still all my husband's supreme leaders. You know, now they're not. He's been out for a while. So,
yeah, it is just the way it is. And yeah, you know, thankfully, you know, we have what we have. You know,
right.
I would rather be where we, you know, be here than anywhere else.
Oh, 100%.
You know.
If things get any crazier, because I'm first, so I'm Basque. Have you heard of Basques?
Yeah. Yeah, they're by Spain.
So I'm first generation here, straight from the Pyrenees Mountains. It's probably why I'm, you know, kind of a thoroughbred or something. Because I'm kind of wild. But that's how we came here. My grandfather was a prisoner in the Philippines. When they bombed Pearl Harbor, they bombed
Wow.
And they took my grandfather prisoner of war, but my dad was 17 and he looked so much like a native being tan or something. He hid out in the jungle and stuff for 3 years.
Wow.
He used to feed my grandfather through and my aunts during the bars because they were political prisoners. My grandfather was a ship's captain out of Bilbao, Spain.
Okay.
So he picked Manila as a port because Franco was in power back then and there was civil war in Spain.
Right.
So they wanted to be Americans. So if his kids, if he had a ship in the Philippines, then his kids were going to be American citizens.
Right.
So long story short, MacArthur returns. And they made it to the other side. They made it to the American side.
That's awesome.
And they got on a troop ship to San Francisco. And so that's how there were a lot of Basques that came to San Francisco. And then they went from San Francisco to Reno. And if you've ever been to the Pyrenees, which I have been, it looks a lot like Spain looks like California.
Oh,
no. Yeah, you can see how the continents split, kind of.
Right.
And Lake Tahoe looks like the Basque country, kind of.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
So then my uncle had Louis Basque Corner, the restaurant. I was a Basque dancer to make my parents proud.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't even want to be Basque.
Really?
No, but now after, you know, like this political stuff, like I could live in Spain, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating, you know, a fascinating culture. The whole Basque culture and everything is really kind of neat. You know, it's something that.
Not when it's shoved down your throat.
I guess it's like living here in Pennsylvania and you get the Pennsylvania Dutch attitude. So I get that. But it's still, I think it's a fascinating culture. It's not something that you hear about all the time. You know, you don't hear about, you know, the Basque people or the country or anything like that. It's just not one of those things that we talk about.
Right. You know? Yeah. My other grandfather was a sheep herder in Reno. Wow. So he herded sheep.
Uh-huh.
And so you can imagine, you know, what blood, candy, tripes, weird soup. It was like, oh my God, I was traumatized as a kid. Yeah, you don't want to be a sheep herder's granddaughter.
Well, I was going to say, take a trip to Pennsylvania Dutch country, and I can show you. They got pickled tripe. They've got something called chow chow. Yeah. They've got something called. It's just the sauce is like this jellied meat with all the extra parts that are left over, and it's made into like a, you know, when you get a canned ham, it's got that jelly on the outside. Well, that's what
it's called blood candy for blood candy. I'm like, I'm not having any blood candy.
We have blood pudding and blood sausage.
Yes. Oh, no, it's salami. I'm like, Grandma, I know this isn't salami. And tongue, lengua. I'm like, this isn't ham. I'm not eating it.
No. I don't want. Yes. My mom and dad used to eat all those things. And I was just like, I was grossed out by it. I'm like, nope, I'm good. You guys eat what you want. But I'm going to McDonald's. I'll see you later. Oh, my word. It's just
memory lane. I have very nice grandparents, though. And my mom was a cheerleader for UNR. So I was just slated to go to UNR, and I ended up being a dropout because I met TJ. Like, I'm not going to college. I'm out of here. Right. I'm getting in my Volkswagen and leaving Reno. Right. Then the masks and all this stuff. And
That is funny. That is funny. Well, Denise,
the fraternities were scared me to death back then.
Oh, really? Because
our culture drinks and everything. And
right.
I get to college. And, oh, my God. My cousin was in, like, an ATO, like an animal house.
Okay.
And I was just, it's cowboys and keggers. And I met TJ. He had a dirt bike. It was pretty fun. He right. didn't drink. And I was like, you know what? There is more to life than cowboys and keggers. I'm getting out of here.
That sounds like a country song. There's more to life than cowboys and keggers.
Cowboy keggers, grandma, jail, and pickup truck.
That's awesome. Oh, that is awesome. That is just awesome. Well, Denise, this has been a blast. We really appreciate you coming on and just talking with us and having a conversation. It was.
I feel like I know you, kind of. That's what's so trippy. I think that's why it was easy for me.
I'm glad. I am glad that it was easy and that you enjoyed. I hope you enjoyed it anyway. I mean,
guess what happened when I heard myself on the show?
What?
I was in Japan. So long story short, we have a ski. My daughter-in-law's parents have a ski chalet over there.
Okay.
Because I ski. And so I listened to podcasts at night. Right. And like I was dreaming and I heard my own voice. And I was like, I woke myself up and I pulled that earplug out of my ear and I was still talking in the other ear. And it was when you had said, oh, we're going to have you back on the show.
Right.
But it took me this long because I was in Japan for a month and then I skied Lake Tahoe for 2 more weeks and then I went to Mexico for a week. That's 2 months.
Right.
And TJ doesn't go with me on some of this stuff. He's okay. It's fine. We're fine. But no, he's not going to go to Tokyo and go party in Osaka. It was fun.
I bet it was, yeah.
Oh, it was fun. It
sounds like it's an interesting life you've got there. So that's awesome. I was honored that you came back on and talked with us, and we just had a nice conversation.
I'm honored to hang out with you guys. Like I said, I almost feel like I know you.
It is our pleasure, and we appreciate that. We really do. I mean, that just makes us feel good. So I really appreciate that a lot. I do. And as we sign out here, Shipper. We hope everybody enjoyed the show. And if they enjoyed the show, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share it with everybody, anybody.
Yes, sir.
Friends, enemies, whatever. Just share the show.
Yep.
Because it's all about just getting the word out.
Yep.
And we'd like to thank your husband for his 26 years service in the Corps.
Oh, Johnny, or I meant TJ. Oh, yeah. You'd like to. Oh, TJ. He is actually a pretty good talker. He could tell you some stories, and I'm pretty sure it's not classified anymore. I don't know about these you know, it's just weird. I don't know what they can talk about.
Right.
Right.
Well, if he ever wants to come on the show and just, you know, he wants to talk, we'll just chop it up with whatever, you know.
But his side of traveling might be different than mine, because he's always worried. I can smell new tires when I, because we have so many cars. Every once in a while, I'll walk into the driveway and I'll smell tires. You know, it's like, oh, did you just throw us? Oh, I'm going to go throw a set of tires on. What, for $1,200? You know, I'm going to throw a set of tires on.
Right. Right, exactly.
Oh, that's horrible.
We're motorheads. I'll just leave.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Denise. And you take care of yourself and have a great rest of your weekend.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.